money, deals, tribal knowledge, resources, training, coaching, partnering. We are Texas's largest real estate investor association at TexasStarterKit.com. My name is Shanoa Grove. Welcome to the show.
Welcome everybody to the Texas RIAs. My name is Phil Grove, and I'm one of the co-founders of the Texas RIAs. The Texas RIAs is the largest, by a large margin, network of real estate investor associations across the great state of Texas, with chapters in Austin, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, all the way back to 2003. And the Texas RIAs provides resources for real estate investors in Texas. What kinds of resources? Things like training, things like market data, power teams, things like private money, power teams, and things like a network where people can horse trade and invest, do business together, etc. We all want you to be educated and contributing members. So we have these meetings all over Texas for the last 20 years. And every meeting is a little different. This time, we're actually going to do a market update. And that's going to be our first presentation for tonight. So let's talk about the market. And by the way, welcome everybody. We got a lot of people here. I'm going to scan the room so we can get a little scan of the audience for the people at home. So everybody can wave a little bit and say hi to the people at home. Here we are. And the question is, what's going on in the market? What's the big story in real estate? Anybody, what do you think the big story is? What's happened in the last couple of years? Interest rates. Somebody said interest rates. Interest rates. So interest rates have changed. Okay, great. Interest rates have changed. What happened to interest rates? They gone up or down? They went up. So what are interest, are interest rates high or low? What would you say? Are interest rates high or low? Who thinks interest rates are high? Raise your hand if you think interest rates are high. Who thinks interest rates are low? Who's saying interest rates are low? Isn't that interesting? Look around the room. We got a lot of highs. We got some lows. Okay. My opinion, interest rates are normal. Okay. So to put it into perspective, okay, 1981, interest rates on home mortgages were 18%. And you guys are complaining about 7? Give me a freaking break. You know, I can tell the people who have their hands up, like interest rates are low. Yeah, they've been around. You know, if people have had their hands up, that means they've been watching this for a long time. Now, the guys have been just watching this for the last couple of years. They're thinking, oh, wow, interest rates are high. Well, it's perspective. My perspective, I've been investing since 2003. Most of my rental portfolio, going back to 2003, I still have mortgages that are 6.5%, 7.5% mortgages, right? I still have those mortgages, and those are normal, right? So I would argue that interest rates right now are normal, okay? So, but it's just perspective. It is just a perspective. And 3 and 4% interest rates, I seriously doubt you will ever see that again in your lifetime or in any of your children's lifetimes. And maybe not in their children's lifetimes. That was a freakishly abnormal 1 in 100 year. It's never happened before. I doubt it'll ever happen again. Now, I have no idea if it'll ever happen again. We can't predict the future, and I'm not going to even try to predict the future. But I can think of a million reasons for it to go up. I can't think of any reasons that it would ever get like that. And anything that would ever get you to that again, you probably don't want to be there, right? So I would say interest rates are normal. And that's just a perspective. And I like normal. I like normal a lot. And the reason I like normal is because when you're investing in normal, it's safer. I said I do commercial, I do residential. Commercial, a few years ago, commercial was hyper-competitive, and people were doing these commercial deals because it was so competitive. They were motivated buyers, and that people were buying these properties for, frankly, more than, you know, top dollar, more than they're worth top dollar, right? And the reason that the offers worked is because they could finance them with these 3% mortgages. In fact, the deals only worked with a 3% mortgage. Well, here's the thing about commercial real estate. Now, residential real estate, 30-year mortgages. Commercial real estate, 5-year mortgages. You know, commercial loans are not typically long-term loans. They're typically short-term loans. Commercial deals turn over constantly. Syndications turn over constantly, which means every 5 years, and give or take, but they refinance constantly. They're bought and sold constantly. So all these deals that were done a few years ago at 3% mortgage that only worked with 3% mortgages, now they're needing to be refinanced. And guess what? None of the numbers work, not even close, at 7 or whatever percent interest. So the big word in the street is cash call. A lot of these deals, they require the investors to bring more money to buy down the loans and to buy down the amount they have to borrow because the deals don't work. So I like the deals now, because if you can make it work now, you're making it work in a normal. And when you do a commercial deal, here's another thing you have to consider. You're really thinking about, when you do a commercial flip, you're thinking about what it's going to be worth 5 years from now, because that's when you're going to be selling it. And you have to ask yourself the smart question, 5 years from now, do I think you're going to be able to get a 7% mortgage? I'd say yes or less. I'd say smart money says probably so, right? 5 years from now, are you going to get a 3% mortgage? I would say there's not a snowball chance in hell that would happen. It could, and nobody knows, but it could. But my perspective is that normal is good, right? I feel like it's safer, but that's just an opinion. That's a perspective. But getting back to interest rates, when the interest rates go up, what happens to home prices? What do you think? What does interest rate do to home? When interest rates go, who thinks when interest rates go up, home prices go down? Who says interest rates go up, home prices go down? Who thinks when interest rates go up, home prices go up? Isn't that interesting? So here's what I'm going to say about interest rates and home prices. Interest rates are not what drive home prices, okay? Home prices care about one thing, supply and demand. It is the purest market in the world, supply and demand. Now, in as far as interest rates affect supply and demand, that affects home prices. But you have to look at the bigger picture. You have to look at supply and demand, okay? And so, for example, back in 2008, what happened to the market? 2002, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? We had subprime lending. Remember that? In order to get a loan, you walked into a bank, you said, I want a loan. A banker, they'd walk up, they'd hold a mirror under your nose. If they saw fog, you got a loan. That was the loan application process back in 2005. And everybody got a loan. And money was easy. It was easy. Everybody could get a loan. So builders were borrowing money by the bazillions of dollars, and they were building houses out over the horizon as far as the eye could see. And then what did they do with all that stuff? What did they do with all those houses? They just gave everybody a loan. If you could fog a mirror, you got a loan. So they were giving everybody loans, right, to sell all those houses. And then in 2008, boom, the banks went bankrupt. Lending came to a crash. Turns out loaning people that don't have jobs credit income is really a dumb idea. Surprise, surprise. Right? And all the banks went bankrupt. Now, you know, it's funny because, you know, the government actually changed the definition of bankruptcy back in 2008. You know that, all that mark-to-market stuff? But by any real definition, the banks went bankrupt. And lending, it just stopped. It was like a train hitting a wall. It stopped. So all of a sudden, the money got turned off. And so people couldn't get loans. And the demand, pew, crashed. And there were all those houses, and nobody could get loans to buy them. And so you had massive supply and no more demand, and crash, the market crashed. Now let's take a look at where we are right now, right? Money eventually got cheap. It did get cheap. 3% mortgages, that got cheap, but it never got easy. After 2008, once the banks finally got lending again, today, all these years later, what do you have to do to get a loan? Turn over your firstborn, fill in a 1,900-page application, submit blood samples. A lot! You know, money got cheap, but it never got easy. And because it never got easy, it's always been constrained. Ever since 2010, 2008, it's been constrained. And as a result of that constraint of money, we actually have a housing shortage. Who's heard that we have a national housing shortage? Who's heard of that? Some of you have heard of that. We have 6 million fewer houses than we need for the demand. And when you have more demand and less supply, what does that do to home prices? Pushes them up, right? We also got something called inflation. You know, I don't, when I hear people talk about inflation, they always talk about it like in derogatory terms. Inflation is bad, Personally, I disagree. I just have another name for inflation. I call inflation, you know, I call it appreciation. You know, when all of your assets are in real estate, right? And you get inflation, what does that do to home prices? Right? Goes up. I'm pretty thrilled with the inflation we had for the last 3 years. You know, I had $20 million worth of houses. Now I have $30 million worth of houses because of inflation. How about that? Yeah, that was awesome. Now, as a result of inflation, right, what happened? We raised interest rates. And when you raise interest rates, money becomes more expensive. And as a result, there's fewer people that can afford to get a loan, right? Houses are less affordable. And when houses are less affordable, what does that do to home prices? Pushes down. So yeah, there's things pushing the market up and there's things pushing the market down, right? And so we have offsetting forces, and we're going to talk about kind of where we are and where we're going based on those drivers. Just out of curiosity, in case you're curious, like interest rates versus home prices. This is interest rates versus median home prices going all the way back to 1975. From 1975 to 1981, interest rates on home mortgages got all the way up to, there it is, 18%. And you guys are complaining with 7? And by the way, when interest rates went up, what happened to median home prices? They actually went up. And when interest rates came down, what happened to median home prices? They actually went up. And when interest rates went up and down, up and down, up and down, what happened to home prices? They went up. Now, we had some bubbles. Yeah, we had some bubbles. So, yeah, there's been some bubbles. But for the most part, there's not much correlation. Now, the volume shrinks. We'll talk about the volume in a minute. Fewer buyers, fewer sellers, but the prices don't get affected as much as you might think. So, we have things pushing the market up. We have things pushing the market down. You put all those things in a blender, where are we? And I'm going to tell you where we are right now. I'm going to share the data with you. It's flat. The market is flat. It is flat as a pancake is flat. This is the Texas data, and I'll go through the different cities. But if you look at Texas as a whole, sales volume is actually up a little bit. So there's something that happened, and I'll go through the last 3 years with you. Market went up, and the market flattened out. And that's what happened in Texas. Up, flat. And has been flat, except for about a quarter ago. And about one quarter ago, something started to happen, and it started to move slowly up again. Average sales price, year over year, 3%, basically flat. Full year, 2022, 2023, down sales unit, the volume is down, and the prices are flat. So, where's it going next, and what's going to happen next? Let's talk about it. I don't know is the big answer, and I'm going to tell you a couple things. First of all, I'm going to give you a lot of data. We pull this data from Texas A&M School of Real Estate and a number of other sources. And I'm also going to say, I don't have a motivation to sell an agenda here. We're not offering any investment opportunities. We're not here to try to convince you the market's going up or going down. Okay, we're not the National Board of Realtors. If you ask the National Board of Realtors what's going to happen to the real estate market, what will they tell you? It's going up. And their forecast every year for the last 20 years is it's going up, and they just have different reasons of explaining that. Okay, we're going to tell you what's going on. We'll give you some guesstimates about what we think are going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, I have strategies to make money in up markets and down markets and sideways markets. Sometimes it's easy to buy and hard to sell. Sometimes it's easy to sell and hard to buy. It's never easy to buy and easy to sell. If anything, I have personally made a little more money in the down markets than the up markets, right? Because of some of the strategies that I use. But I'm not here to try to persuade you the market's going up or down. I'm just going to give you a lot of data, and I'll give you a forecast. Okay, now, what's driving the market? To some degree, the economy. Now, people think, is the economy the big driver of real estate? Not really. The economy tends to be a lagging indicator, not a leading indicator. What does that mean? if the real estate market booms, it pulls the economy up. If the real estate market crashes, it pulls the economy down, and not the other way around. For example, during the Great Depression, right, 1-in-100-year event, real estate prices went down a whopping 6%, almost up. During the Great Pandemic, another 1-in-100-year event, real estate prices went up 30%. So it's not the economy. Now, the economy affects supply chains and other things that may affect supply and demand, and that does have some effect on real estate. But if you think the economy is going to push real estate, well, it's going to push it up because the economy is actually growing. In fact, Texas specifically is growing at a 5% rate, so it's got a pretty robust economy. Consumer confidence. This is like what consumers think is going to happen next. And they give a number from 1 to 200. Anything over 100 is bullish. So right now, consumer confidence is rated at 115. Okay, that's considered bullish. It means more people think that things are getting better than getting worse. So that's an upward force. Unemployment. Typically, if the unemployment rate is under 5%, that's considered good unemployment. And we're under 5%. Dallas, Austin, 3.5%. So the economy and unemployment is actually doing quite well. Job growth. Are we creating more jobs? Yeah, Texas is doing great there too at 2.7%. Austin's 2.6%. So we're exceeding the nation in job growth. That's why everybody's moving to Texas. So that's another upward push. Stock market. Stock market is how people feel, right? If their portfolio went up, they feel wealthier, right? If their portfolio went down, they feel poorer. So it does have an effect on what decisions and investments people make. And yeah, last year was a great market for the stock market. 2023 ended really, really strong. So people feel wealthy. Interest rates. Interest rates went up, and they went up quite a bit in a short amount of time, and that is causing a reduction in demand. So that's a downward force on home prices. What's going to happen next? Most of the smart money thinks that interest rates will probably lower later this year. We have no idea for sure. Home price trajectory, flat. Home price trajectory is flat. Not up, not down. It's flat. Dallas is up a little bit. San Antonio is down a little bit. Austin is an outlier. We'll explain that more in a minute. But for the most part, it is flat. So that's not up or down. Closed sales trajectory, the volume. The volume is down. And we'll talk about that. There's fewer buyers, fewer sellers. So the prices are flat to up, but the volume, number of buyers and sellers, is down. So there's just less of everything, less buying, less selling. Now, I will say something about this, one other detail here. The mix has changed. Let's talk about the mix. Typically, when you look at the houses that have sold, typically two-thirds of houses that sell are resale houses and one-third are new construction. That's the typical mix. Two-thirds resale, one-third new construction. It's inverted. Right now, two-thirds of the houses that are selling are new construction, only one-third is resale. There's a reason. Why is that? Because most people that own a house got it either bought or refinanced in the last few years, and they have one of those 3 or 4% mortgages, and they don't want to give it up. So nobody's selling, right? Nobody's selling because, yeah, they may typically all these other market's good, stock's good, we're making more money, we got a raise, you know, time to move up to a bigger house, and that was what would normally be happening except for one big problem. A lot of people that have a house are saying, I don't want to give up my 3 or 4% mortgage and buy another house and get a 7% mortgage, so I'm just going to keep it. And all of that supply is being held on the sidelines, right? And when they hold the supply on the sidelines, less supply, what does that do to home prices? It's another thing pushing prices up, right? Now, who's filling the void? The builders are filling the void, right? Because there's still just as many people need a place to live or having babies or whatever and moving here to Texas. So we still have a certain amount of demand that's got to be fulfilled by something. So the builders are filling the void, right? And that's why the mix has changed. Now it's two-thirds new construction, one-third resale. But there's another problem on the horizon, right? Money's getting a little more expensive. Money's getting a little harder to get, right? Which means building is slowing down, which means what? It means eventually the builders are going to run out of inventory. And people keep having babies and keep moving to Texas. So when we run out of inventory, we're getting no more resale houses. People don't want to resell and get the higher mortgage. The builders don't have enough. And then what happens? Now you have another even bigger housing shortage, which would do what to home prices? Another thing that could push prices up. So pending sales trajectory, right? We've got a little upturn in pending sales. So something's happened over the last quarter that's turned the volume around. Active listings, flat, not up, not down. We are adding more, but at a slow pace. So we're just kind of meeting a gradually growing demand. Months of inventory. In my opinion, this is the most important statistic of them all. Months of inventory. What is months of inventory? There's a couple of ways to look at months of inventory, but the way I would best describe it is if you just stopped adding any houses to for sale. You just take whatever's for sale. As soon as it's gone, it's gone. It's like you don't add any more houses to the market. You just sell what we got. Okay, how long would it last at the rate it's being bought? And the answer is, in Texas, 3.4 months. We got 3.4 months of inventory. Which is also, by the way, the average amount of time it takes to sell a house. Some more, some less, averages out to 3.4 months of inventory. Now, let's put that in perspective. The saying is this, if there's more than 6 months of inventory, you have a buyer's market. If there's less than 6 months of inventory, you have a seller's market. We are at 3.4 months of inventory. We're in a pretty strong seller's market. Now, perspective, right? People are saying, oh, compared to a year ago, compared to 2 years ago. Yeah, a year ago, 2 years ago, we were in a freakishly abnormal, you'll probably never see that again, strong seller's market. But it's perspective. We have normal interest rates and a pretty strong seller's market. That's how the data would read going back 40 years, because the average is 6 months and we're at 3.4. And Dallas is on fire, by the way. And that's another bit of an outlier. We'll talk about that in a minute. Housing permits trajectory, right? Are we starting new construction? Are we meeting demand? And the answer is we're just barely meeting demand, right? Because people keep having babies and keep moving to Texas. And so we need more houses and we're adding more houses, but we're just barely keeping up with demand. In migration, what is that? The biggest determination of real estate prices is supply and demand. Well, demand is what? How many people need a place to live? And a big effect on demand is migration. Migration is the ratio of people moving in versus moving out. Okay, when there's in migration, it means the population's growing. That's really what it means, right? And you want to go where the population is growing, and Texas is growing like crazy, right? Everybody's moving to Texas. And because of that, there's more demand. And where there's more demand, what does that do to home prices? Another thing pushing prices up. Construction. We have a problem in construction. What's happening with construction? Contractors are dying, and we're not replacing them. The average age of a general contractor, 58 years old. And nobody's becoming a contractor. I don't know what happened. Tell our young people, give them a hammer, right? Don't give your kid a calculator or a computer. Give them a hammer. They can make a lot more money than a surgeon, right? And not have to accumulate all the college debt. It's a way smarter move, trust me. And contractors, they're dying off. And because of that, there's fewer contractors. And when there's fewer contractors, what happens to construction costs? So construction costs are off the charts. It's crazy. It's just, I remember building houses. I could build a house for 100 a foot, 120 a foot, 150 a foot. Now it's like 200 a foot, 300 a foot. It's crazy what it costs. And it's all because of labor. Labor costs for construction off the charts. And of course, labor costs mean what does that do to home prices? It's pushing up. They're more expensive, right? And then finally, wild cards, interest rate decrease, timing, war, inflation, election. Who knows? Who knows? So these are the things that are moving the market. Some of these things moving up, some moving down. But this is perspective. Now, when I look at this, my perspective is what? Let me ask you, all right, how many people think prices are probably going to go up? Who thinks houses are probably going to go up in prices? Who thinks housing prices are probably going to go down? Okay, that's a couple downs and a lot of ups. I see a lot of things pushing prices up. I don't see much pushing it down. The biggest thing pushing it down is interest rates. And all the smart money says interest rates are probably going to go down. And if interest rates go down, it's going to kind of open up the dam, right? Because now we have what? More affordable. This red turns to green. The closed trajectory ends up following the pending, and there's not much red left on this chart. So interest rates go down and all bets are off for where the housing market goes next. Okay, let's go back and take a look at Texas, and then we'll dive into the different cities. The average sales price for a house in Texas is $396,000, up 3% versus a year ago. And median price up 2% versus a year ago. Prices are flat to slightly up. Months of inventory, 3.5. It's a pretty good market by any historical measure. Now, it's not as strong as it was a year ago. Strong a year ago is freakishly strong, 2.5 months of inventory. But we're still pretty strong. Closed sales is actually up. Now, this has been down, and it's just starting to turn up. Active listings is up. Well, and that's why we have more inventory. There's more available houses to buy. Now, going back 3 years, 2021, home prices in Texas went up 18% in 1 year. 2022, they went up another 10.7%. 2023, flat. Went up some more, and then it flattened out. And it's been flat ever since, about a quarter ago, slightly up. And that's kind of where the market's gone. Where it's going to go next, well, you can make your own prediction. Houston, second most affordable city in Texas. Average sales price in Houston, $391, up 3%. Median price, $320, up 2%. Closed sales is actually up a little bit in Houston. Something's going on. Months of inventory, 3.3. Pretty good market. Now, not quite as good as it was a year ago. It was 2.6, but pretty good market. Active listings are up a little bit, 18%. Going back 3 years, in 2021, Houston prices were up 16% in 1 year. 2022, up another 10%. 2023, flat as Houston is flat. Flat. All right, here we are in the big D, Dallas. The average price house in Dallas is $476,000, up 2%. Median price is $385,000, up 1%. Closed sales is up a little bit, but here's something crazy. Dallas is catching fire. Now, 2.5 months of inventory. It is a hot market in Dallas. And it's almost as hot as it was a year ago hot, which was really hot. It's really crazy. And I'll tell you something else about Dallas. And this is, I don't know why this is true, but we've been tracking this for 20 years. And I'm going to tell you, for some reason, and maybe somebody here knows the answer, Dallas has always been the bellwether of Texas. If you want to know what's going to happen next in Texas, you always look at Dallas. When Dallas starts to go down, the rest of the state goes down, and Dallas goes up, the rest of the state goes up. I don't know why. There's something about the size and the mix of the economy or whatever it is, but it's always been the bellwether of Texas. And there's certain things that you look at as real estate investors to kind of get some clues about what's going to happen next. I'll give you another one. Condominiums. We call condominiums the canary in the coal mine. Condominiums and condominium inventory. Condominiums are the first thing to go when the market starts to go soft, the last thing to come back when the market gets hot. If you can sell a condo, you can sell anything. It's always been the canary in the coal mine. So you look at condo inventory and then housing inventory, and then you look at Dallas before all the other markets, and something is going on in Dallas because Dallas has been catching on. Active listings are up, but only a little bit. Pending sales down, only a little bit. But what happened over the last 3 years? Dallas 2021 up 20% in 1 year. 2022 up another 15% in 1 year. 2023 flat, really up 1%, which is flat. Now, again, the volume's gone down. And the number of buyers, number of sellers has gone down a little bit. So there's fewer buyers, fewer sellers, but prices are flat. But all of this little up creep has happened just over the last quarter. So Dallas Inventory is dropping. Prices are starting to rise. What's going to happen next? We don't know for sure, but there's a lot of things that tell us prices are probably going to rise even more. Lease is down 1%, basically flat. Lease price is down 12%. Some new inventory came onto the market that explains that. Austin is an outlier, and I'm going to tell you why, and it'll make sense in a minute. But here's the data in Austin. The average price house in Austin is $553,000. That is not a typo. That's the average house price in Austin. We did a little research on this, and what we discovered, a lot of you probably don't know this, but the name Austin, where did it come from? Austin is actually Latin for San Francisco. Yeah. Elon Musk moved to Austin. And he brought with him all his friends. So Amazon and Apple and Meta and Samsung and all these high-tech companies from everywhere are moving in, and they don't have minimum wage employees. They have six-figure employees. And so Austin has just had this rush of high net worth people. And here's the outlier, and here's what happened. In 2021, this is the story. In 2021, home prices in Austin went up 29% in 1 year. In 2022, another 10%, 2023 down. Now let's talk about this. What happened in 2021? In 2021, months of inventory, remember months of inventory? In 2021, Austin had 0.4 months of inventory. Less than 2 weeks of inventory. Never seen anything like it. So what would happen in 2021 is somebody would put a house on the market, they'd get 11 offers in a weekend. One of them won. 10 were sold, sorry you lost. So those 10 that lost put an offer on another house. They got 11 offers in a weekend. One of them won. The other 10 were said, sorry, you lost. And what was happening just normally in 2021 in Austin is people would put an offer, get outbid, put an offer, get outbid, put an offer, get outbid. And then finally they'd get furious at their realtor. I need to move here. I need a place. What do you have to do to buy a house here in Austin? And in 2021, it was the normal to buy a house for 10%, 5 to 10% above appraised value. Now, what does it mean when you buy a house above the appraised value? The bank will only loan up to the appraised value. Did you know that? Bank will not loan you money to buy above the appraised value. You know, down payment plus loan equals appraised value, not a penny more. So to buy a house above appraised value, you have to put your down payment down, and then you have to bring extra money to the table on top of that at the closing. So I would say in 2021, it was normal for people to buy houses in Austin, Texas at 5 to 10% above arguably what they were even worth because it was a freakishly abnormal market. Things did not get much better in 2022 because prices went up another 10%. And then in 2023, when things finally got normal again, prices went down 8%. So in Dallas, prices went up 30% and they leveled off. In Austin, prices went up 40% and they came down 10%. Perspective. If you bought a house 3 years ago, you'd be in the exact same place, either in Dallas or in Austin. If you bought a house 1 year ago in Austin, you lost some money, right? And that's just perspective. But there was an outlier. Now, once Austin flattened out, it flattened out. And it's looking now just like everybody else. 3.2 months of inventory, right? Active listings are up. But not a whole, or actually down, actually. Actually, for some reason, yeah, I missed that, right? The inventory is actually going down, right? And that's why the months of inventory is actually dropping. And then finally, San Antonio, average price, most affordable major city in Texas, average price house down 1%, median down 6%, 290 down 6%. Months of inventory is a little higher in San Antonio, 4.3, still decent to good market. 2021 up 16%, 2022 up another 12%, 2023 flat or technically down 2%. So what's going to happen next? We'll give you a forecast, and I'll say a couple of things about the forecast. Again, I don't have any I'm not trying to convince you it's going to go up or down or whatever. We're going to give you a forecast. We'll tell you what we think, but we're going to let you make your own decision at the end of this. But I will say this. Predicting real estate is one of the easiest things to predict compared to other things. Like predicting the stock market, I do not believe that's possible. I really don't. Predicting the economy, I think that's almost impossible. Predicting real estate, it's actually not that complicated. And the reason it's not that complicated is it's all supply and demand. And when it comes to supply and demand, here's what we know. We know exactly how many people live here. We know exactly how many people are having babies. We even know pretty much exactly how many people are moving here. So we know exactly how many houses we have, and we know exactly how many houses we need. We even know exactly how many houses we're building. So we know what we need, and we know what we have. And we can pretty well guess, you know, what's going to happen based on that. And we've been making a forecast for the market in Texas every year for the last 20 years. And I'm going to tell you, 20 out of 20, it's pretty much been spot on every year. So not to brag, and I don't do the forecast, but not to brag, this organization has always been pretty much spot on. So what do we see? Looks like data shows market bottomed out about a quarter ago. Interest rates are expected to go down, probably in the summer. We don't know, right? We don't know, but that's what most of the smart money believes. Probably will drop 1%. That's what the Federal Reserve is predicting in 2024. As that happens, that will be the final thing that will push prices up. And we expect prices to be up a very modest amount, probably about 5% this year. So that's our forecast. And we also expect sales, you know, will be a little lower, but by the end of the year, they'll be up 5%. So volume is going up and prices going up. And that is our forecast. So is that helpful for you guys? So people ask a couple of questions. Yes, we get our data from a number of different sources, including the Texas A&M School of Real Estate that has wonderful online data. We also publish our data every month at the Texas RIA's various social media websites. So we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and you're welcome to get our data. We're broadcasting right now, so you can watch us every week as well. That's a little bit about it. Any quick questions before I go into our next segment? Question, yeah. What do you mean lowballing the mortgage? I don't understand. So I would say that's ridiculous. And the reason I would say that's ridiculous is because here's the thing. Banks do not want to own real estate. They're not in the real estate business. They never have been. They're in the note business. But they don't get their money back. I get the theory. The theory is, oh, they loan money at 3%. Wouldn't it be great to get all that money back and loan it out at 7%? That's a great theory, but that's not how it actually works. Because if they call a loan and they don't get the money back, you don't have to pay the lender back. You just have to say no, right? And then the bank would have to foreclose. Banks don't want to foreclose because they don't get their money. They get a house. And when a bank forecloses, what's that? They'll lose a fortune foreclosing on the note. Because let's say you have a $100,000 note at 3%. The theory is you get the $100,000 back and you loan it out at 7%. That would be awesome, but that's not how it works. Because if you foreclose on a note at 3%, you have to foreclose. You get a house. By the time you foreclose, the foreclosure process, you got to pay the foreclosure attorney, the eviction attorney, closing costs on the buy, closing costs on the sell, insurance, prorated taxes, utilities, improvements, all the time it takes. On average, by the time a lender forecloses on a note, they get 50% of their note. So yeah, they could foreclose on a $100,000 note, they get $50,000 back that they could loan out at 7%. It's never going to be worth it. And there's never been a scenario where it's been worth it, right, for that reason. But I like the question. I understand that. I think about these things, but we've been thinking about this stuff for years. I feel pretty good about these numbers. I'm expecting this. I'm capable of operating outside of that range, right? And we can make money in up markets, down markets, or sideways markets. But I think you need to look at the broad data. And we have people that come here with all different perspectives, right? Oh, interest rates or housing market's about to crash. Well, if I really believed there was something amount to make the housing market crash, I would be telling you, I think the housing market's going to crash, you know, hold the money, get ready, and be ready to move in. I would be happy to tell you that if I really saw any data that said that, right? I'm just sharing the data. Based on everything I see, prices are going to go up, right? So if you're waiting for the market to correct, if you're waiting to buy a house, you're probably going to be waiting for a very, very long time because there's nothing on the horizon that says that that's going to happen, right? And interest rates are normal. And I would say it's a great time to invest, right? I mean, because, right, I mean, if deals work now, it's less competitive, money's normal, market's stable, it's probably going to go up a little, right? And so all of those make it a safe-ish environment, right? If you're investing in a market that's abnormal, that's, to me, risky. Right, because I don't know, right, if what's going to happen, right? Exactly. All right. So one more question, yeah. Well, I mean, technically, any landlord is an investor, and some of the big hedge funds are actually doing build to rent. They're building entire communities just all as rental properties because they're big believers in owning real estate long term. So yeah, there's definitely a trend. I own, many houses. I own $30 million worth of houses. What's that? Yeah, I mean, it depends. When I flip a property, I'm not limiting supply. I'm just improving it and putting it back on the market. So I'm not affecting the supply at all. I'm taking a property and putting it back. When I buy a property and hold it as a rental property, yeah, that reduces the number of properties somebody else could buy and live in. So I'm moving properties from, homestead to rental. So yeah. All right. So let's keep going, guys. So thank you so much for that feedback on that. We're going to go through some training in a minute. I do have a special announcement. We interrupt this program for a special announcement. The Texas REIS provides a lot of resources for Texas real estate investors. Market data, you just saw some of that. Training, we're going to go through that in a minute. And we also do special training. For example, we host the Texas Real Estate Investing Workshop. So if you would like to get deep training, we have some workshops coming up. Practical, actionable, detailed, step-by-step training, where we teach all 12 strategies. You need to know them all 65 marketing methods to find deals. Closing scripts were the exact words you say to get somebody to accept your solution to their problem, your offer on their property, how to partner on deals, how to access private money, etc. Normally, we charge for the workshop. We have a special Q1 promotion where we're actually inviting people to get training for free because we really, really want our members to actually be active. And we'll explain that more in a minute. But the workshop is coming up in Austin, Dallas, and Houston. So it's a special 3-city tour. Pick the location that works for you if you're looking for some training. I know there are out-of-state training companies, I won't name them, but they typically charge $1,000, and I'm going to tell you this is a much better workshop because this is real Texans teaching Texans how to invest in Texas using the strategies that actually work here, and real estate is local. So we teach this workshop in Austin, Dallas, and Houston, 3-city tour, pick the location and date that works best for you. It is live and in person. When we do it live, we have tables, so we're not crammed in like we are here. We have tables, so we're a little more spread out. We also simulcast. So if for some reason you're not able to attend live, you can attend on Zoom, or you can even do a hybrid. Some Zoom, some online. That is completely up to you. I teach this workshop myself. I've been doing this for many, many years. I've literally taught tens of thousands of people here in Texas how to invest in real estate.
Texas's largest real estate investor association at TexasStarterKit.com. If you like today's episode, please subscribe, comment, share with other investors, or join us directly at TexasStarterKit.com.